Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to church this morning. My name is Sabrina, and I serve our church as a... Oh my God, I'm president of the board of trustees. In the pulpit this morning, we have Paul Fisher. Paul is also a member of the board, and he's awesome. He gave me a ride to from campus. This morning, Paul will be speaking about you plus me equals we. Everyone is invited to stay following this worship service for fellowship, conversation, and potluck in the Kate Worker room. And even if you didn't bring anything, which it seems unlikely at this point, because I saw the amount of food, but please stay. If you are a newcomer here today, we extend to you a special welcome and hope that if you this is the first time to visit, you will consider entering your name in one of the visitor cards that can be found in the back of your gray hymnal and placing the card in the offering plate or handing it to an usher. And if you have children with you today, little ones, there is a nursery that you can use it, but your children are always welcome to stay in the sanctuary with us. If you would like to learn more about the church and Unitarian Universalism, please visit the information displays, also in the Kate Worker room in the wall behind me here on the other side. And now, I invite you to turn to your neighbors and greet them, especially the ones you don't know that well. If you have an announcement for the good of the church or other, please come to the microphone.
Good morning. I'm going to do my joy right now, too. I walked with very little limping, so my injury is healing. I got hurt, but I didn't want to make two trips up here. I have gotten word that there's going to be another work day in the north of Del Mar neighborhood that we were helping out with earlier. I believe it's going to be August 2nd is the tentative date. So if you're interested in helping out clearing brush and doing things with empty lots in the Kensington Academy neighborhood in North St. Louis, please come and talk to me. They're desperately in need of gas-powered chainsaws. So if you have one and want to use it, come and see me.
Hi, I'm Mary Johnson. The Alton area cluster of is part of the United Congregations of Metro East, which is a social justice advocacy organization. And if you would like to learn more about the social justice activities going on with the cluster and with the United Congregations, there's going to be a breakfast on Saturday, July 26th at College Avenue Presbyterian Church. It's a free breakfast. And it starts at 9, and you can learn about the activities that the cluster does and the activities that UCM is involved in throughout the region. So if you're interested in going, let me know, because they'd like each church to have a group of people at a table. So I'll have a poster up here, so if talk to me if you're interested. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nan Adams, and I'd just like to send out an invitation to you to come out to the Heartland Prairie. It's in Gordon Moore Park, on the north side of the park, on the other side from the Rose Garden. We have a prairie, about 30 acres, and we have a guided tour on Tuesday evening, this Tuesday, and then on the fourth Tuesday, and it starts at 5:30. We'd love to have you come out. I think you'd find that this is the peak season for all of our flowers, and it lasts about an hour, 5:30 to 6:30, and we always finish off with lemonade and sometimes a brownie or two. So please come.
Later? Okay. I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any gratitude or celebrations you bring with you to church this morning, and there will be time to share concerns and sorrows in a few moments.
So the good news is that this wasn't an announcement, it's a joy, because Camp Fest concluded yesterday. Some of you were there, some of you weren't. As we were walking up from the car, Kelly said, you know, we're not at Camp Fest anymore because Ed has on a pressed shirt. Not Camp Fest anymore. We had a really great time. It was a different week. I know that it was a terrible week for many people, so we had kind of a smaller crowd, but it is always, every year, such a blessing for us all to be there together. So keep it in mind for next year if you couldn't make it this year. Yay. Yay.
Recently I'm a massage therapist. I've been one for 8 years, and I always wondered like what modality was going to pick. So this last weekend I started my biodynamic cranial sacral classes, which is going to take 2 years to get certified in. It's amazing. So I feel it's one of my talents that over time I'll get to that I'll get to share with you guys. So thank you, and I'm very excited to pass along this healing modality. So thank you. Yay.
I invite you to move to the microphone and share briefly any sorrows or concerns you bring with you to church this morning.
I'm Phil. As some of you know, my wife has gone to Arlington, Virginia to stay with her daughter and son-in-law. That's not my sorrow. I would be there with her, except I agreed to teach some classes. Last night I got a text from her. The Oberholzers were some people that she and her first husband knew in the Army. Their kids were the same age, so they spent a lot of time together. She got word yesterday that their son, Matt, had died yesterday. And she asked that if you would keep that family and their friends in your prayers. Thank you.
My childhood friend, Stephanie, just started her treatment at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Chicago for her cervical cancer that is spreading. So if you would continue to keep Stephanie in your thoughts and prayers. Thanks.
Dear friend of mine, put him in the hospital last night. They don't know yet what's wrong with him. Rich Keating, I know several of you know him. And they did do blood work, and his white cell count is down to 1. So they're bringing in some specialists. As a matter of fact, one of them comes in today on a Sunday. So they're considering this out of the ordinary, but keep him in your thoughts and prayers.
May the gratitude and celebrations among us this day become a blessing to all, and may the concerns and sorrows of each be carried in all our hearts, a burden shared becomes a load lightened. And now we have a special announcement.
Hi everybody, I'm Spiral, as most of you know. There is a special guest here with us this morning, Christine Favilla, and she is here today to share some information about an exciting new project in the Alton area to open a co-op store called Grassroots Grocery. And here's Christine.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for allowing me to take a few moments of your time during your service. I'm working with an incredible group of volunteers to put together a nonprofit grocery store. will be run as a cooperative grocery store, and it is in a USDA certified food desert in town, which basically means it's over a mile away before you can find fresh, healthy food. So if you're a neighbor in that area, which is a very low income area on Ridge Street, the accessibility of cars and getting to and from other markets are also low. So we're really hoping to fill a need in that neighborhood and offer a lot of local produce and other items. And just want to let you know it is going on right now. Because it's a nonprofit, we are trying to raise funds to get the store in operation and buy all the inventory. We are still also looking for like-minded producers who may be growers of produce or value added. You know, maybe they make sauces or jams or jellies in order to kind of help, you know, make a robust economy in the same area at the same time. So I appreciate your time to let me speak. I've got some flyers. If anyone's interested, I will leave and talk with you after the service. So thank you.
The prelude begins our worship service as Kelvin lights her chalice. We're here to abet creation and to witness to it, to notice each other's beautiful face and complex nature so that creation need not play to an empty house. Let us worship together. Our first hymn is number 347 in the gray hymnal, Gather the Spirit. Please rise as you're willing and able.
Thank you.
responsive reading, number 461, also in the back of the gray hymnal. It is entitled, We Must Be Saved, and is by Reinhold Niebuhr. Nothing worth doing is completed in our lifetime. Nothing true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history.
Therefore, we are saved by faith.
Nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished alone.
Therefore, we are saved by love.
No virtuous act is quite as virtuous from the standpoint of our friend or foe as from our own.
Therefore,
seated. Freely we have received of gifts that minister to our needs of body and spirit. Gladly we'd bring to our church and its wide concerns a portion of this bounty. We have been greatly blessed. Let us now give generously so others may be blessed by the work of the church. The morning's offering will be now given and received. Receive with gratitude all generous gifts of time, talent, and treasure, and together we bless them and those who gave in faith, hope, and love. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
For our prayer and meditation this morning, I wanted to take a moment for everybody to thank those who have brought us to this place that are both with us and still in our memories. Our second hymn can be found, it's Amazing Grace, number 205 in the gray hymnal.
Thank you.
I'd like to start this off with a story of young love. I don't know if anybody can relate to something like this ever happening to them in their lifetime, but I can remember back when I was probably in my early 20s, maybe a teenager, and I was at a Valentine's dance, and you know, I was a single guy and walking around, and you know, and so I saw this woman that was just absolutely beautiful, and it took me a while to just walk around and get my nerve up to talk to her, and but I did have a plan of attack. I wanted to just go ahead and do it. I just wanted to go over there and just talk to her as quick as I could. You know, that was going to be my plan. I just needed to go over there. I needed to talk to her. Something needed to come out of my mouth, and something needed to happen afterwards. That was the only thing that was going through my mind. So as I was walking around, there was a guy walking around microphone. They were vending roses, so I went ahead and I bought a rose, and I walked over there, and I remember just as plain as I could put it, I just said, "I saw you sitting here, and well, this grew out of me, and I wanted to give it to you." And what happened was she unexpectedly turned to me and emotionally lifted in front of me. You know, it was like her whole persona just kind of grew right in front of me. She smiled, she was gushing, she was glowing, you know, she was very responsive. I didn't expect that, you know. And it was so, and it was such a bright experience for me that I couldn't pay attention to her. You know, I couldn't stay with her at all. And I became completely frozen. I don't know if anybody's ever felt that before. You know, where I was just completely stiff. And so what I did, you know, I kind of fell into my place here. My head fell towards her feet, you know. And as I'm sitting here trying to talk to her, I could start to hear her again, you know, as I was talking to her feet. And miraculously, I kept some sort of a conversation with her. And it kept going on like this. I was talking to her feet, and she was talking to me, and everything was going great until she started talking about her almost immediate breakup with her boyfriend. And as soon as she started talking to her about her boyfriend, my head kind of came up like this. And I was able to have a straightforward conversation with her. Because at that point, I was able to latch onto her pain. And I was able to latch onto her darkness. And the lesson that I took from that was that I saw at that moment neither her nor I were ready to have a discussion about being in each other's company. And she completely broke down in tears and left the dance. I was sitting there, standing there. My own stuff. This morning's reading, I picked, it's recovery literature. It's called The Triangle of Self-Obsession. This is really good stuff here. When we are born, we are conscious only of ourselves. We are the universe. We perceive little other than our basic needs. And if these needs are met, we are content. As our consciousness expands, we become aware of a world outside ourselves. We discover that there are people, places, and things around us, and that they fulfill our needs. At this point, we also begin to recognize differences and develop preferences. We learn to want and choose. We are the center of a growing universe and expect to be provided with the things we need and want. Our source of contentment shifts from basic needs miraculously met to the fulfillment of our desires. Most children, through experiences over a period of time, come to realize that the outside world cannot provide all their wants and needs. They begin to supplement what is given to them with their own efforts. As their dependency on people, places, and things decreases, they begin to look at themselves more and more. They become more self-sufficient and learn that happiness and contentment comes from within. Most continue to mature. They recognize and accept their strengths and weaknesses and limitations. At some point, they usually seek the help of a power greater than themselves to provide the things they cannot provide for themselves. For most people, growing up is a natural process. As addicts, however, we seem to falter along the way. We never seem to outgrow the self-centeredness of a child. We never seem to find that self-sufficiency that others do. We continue to depend on the world around us and refuse to accept that we will not be giving everything. We become self-obsessed. Our wants and needs become demands. We reach a point where contentment and fulfillment are impossible. People, places, and things cannot possibly fill the emptiness inside of us, and we react to them with resentment, anger, and fear. Resentment, anger, and fear make up the triangle of self-obsession. All of our defects of character are forms of these three reactions. Self-obsession is at the heart of our insanity. Resentment is the way most of us react to our past. It is reliving of past experiences again and again in our minds. Anger is the way most of us deal with our present. It is a reaction to denial and reality. Fear is what we feel when we think about the future. It is our response to the unknown, a fantasy in reverse. All three of these things are expressions of our self-obsession. They are the ways that we react when people, places, and things, past, present, and future, do not live up to our demands. That's a lot to take away. You know, the first time I read that, you know, one thing that was amazing to me about this type of literature is that it's so simple. You know, it's very simple, it's very hard-hitting, it's very direct, not a lot of $5 words. And, you know, and I notice a lot, you know, I belong to a fellowship where a lot of people will read this, and it's amazing the way people take that, you know, because what I see a lot of times is that, you know, the birth or beginning of whenever people fall out of their self-obsession, like me, for example, a lot of times there's a religious fervor. You know, and the thing of it is, I feel like most people come to this point in their life where they discover there's something else going on other than their own mind and their own self. And so they start to ask themselves some questions like, am I blessed and highly favored? If you don't buy into my logic, are you in fact self-obsessed, angry, or a fearful person? And is this the true reason why we do church or, you know, recovery self-help programs or, you know, outside community projects? You know, is this why we do this, so that we don't fall into that second category of being that self-obsessed person? Oh, okay. Thank you. Can you guys hear me better now? Okay, good deal. So all of us want the first part, you know. And I'm usually very quickly to say that I'm a very imperfect, independent, knowledge-seeking, and a very humble person. I love saying I'm humble. I'm the humblest person you'll ever meet in your life, and I'll prove it to you. Because after all, I'm a helper, and I'm a giver, I'm a lover. I'm there for you. I care about you. What can I do to make your life better? But the truth is, I too have my dirty little secrets. I've been living in a world filled with incompetent, ignorant people who can't get me my entire life. I have at times created worlds of great ideas and volumes of rules and boundaries that have formed a belief system that is no more comical than any religious body I have openly mocked in my lifetime. I've done these things. Really am. And this is how I do it. The formula for this belief system is, I latch onto something that emotionally moves me, like, oh, say, God or Earth or whatever, or a political stance. And all I have to do is hide those emotional things about those things that move me into a protected barrier of research, data, factual information, and etc., to where nobody could catch up to me. And finally, only seek out people who don't challenge me emotionally or mentally. And then the final result is, anybody who behaves like me but thinks differently must be a fanatic. The end result for me, though, is that my own certainty was a death sentence for me. I had forgotten about the truth. I had forgotten how to love. I'd forgotten about true compassion, but man, did I have a good time. This all came to a head on December 24th of 2006. I did something that I don't think I had ever meaningfully done since I was a child and asked for help. And in doing so, I had to get bare naked honest about myself, open-minded to a world that existed outside of my thinking and willing to take direction from those who had come before me. I had to admit that I didn't know everything internally and not just externally. In other words, the secrets had to go. No longer could I be the architect of my own thinking. My community started opening up. My mind again became a fresh slate in which to graft new ideas from. And at this point, usually people in my spot back then drift off into all kinds of spiritual and religious fervors and highs because the emotional override from being saved is so powerful that in most cases, it can lock a person right back down into a cloud of religious zeal that still doesn't allow me to respect my limitations. So if my way of doing things made me sick, and your way of doing things exclusively kept me sick, what was left? And what I've come to find out is that that answer is we. And that's a lot of what this sermon's all about. I found the word to be the most profound yet simplest word I know. The genius of we is something I have been able to nurture here at First Unitarian Universalist Church. I have found that in order for we to work, I have to be an active participant in it. In other words, I matter. My efforts matter, and the voice that I carry matters. I've also found that in order for we to work, your voices, your efforts, and your experiences matter. And I follow this premise best when these things enter my heart, unchanged or altered by my mind's filter. I have found that my higher power, we talk about having more than one way up the mountain, one way up the mountain as a UU. And for me, this applies even to me plus God equals we. Me plus my spirit of light equals we. Me plus the world equals we. I asked earlier if I am blessed or highly favored. And with this new understanding, I can confidently say, whatever the case may be, it matters to me. And that that's the relevance I can give back to the spiritual powers that are in my life and the people who share their powers with me. In other words, my own understanding and my own acknowledgement of a power working in my life is my contribution. Finally, what this concept has done to fit in my life the most is that at some point I came across a mirror facing down, and as I picked my head up, I saw my own light looking back at me and realized that the biggest problem that I had with this light is that it had never left me, even when everything else in my life was dark. For my benediction and ending, my hope for all of us is that although our candle may seem insignificant, we may keep it lit so our true power can matter to those who seek us out. For our final hymn, it is I Wish I Knew How, number 151.
I wish I knew how.
That concludes our service. Thank you very much. Go boldly. Have a great week, everybody.